Hi, everyone. I'm Nirav Savali. I'm a board-certified plastic surgeon in Newport Beach. I'm here with Casey Polanco, who's my office manager and patient coordinator. We are both with Savalia Plastic Surgery, and we're going to be talking to you today about a subject near and dear to both of our hearts, and that's called oncoplastic surgery. It is a form of breast reconstruction that we specialize in, and it's a method in which women can have the best of both worlds. They can have their cancer treated with a lumpectomy, get to save their breast, but also retain their breast and have a good aesthetic shape, outcome, and sensation, all of which are very, very important. So we're going to do a little bit of an introduction to that today, and perhaps in future episodes, we'll do a deeper dive. So,
yes, thank you. So welcome to our podcast. We are planning on diving deep, as Dr. Savalia said, into oncoplastic breast reconstruction, as well as other techniques that Dr. Savalia does in his practice here. We'll share patient stories. We'll have guest hosts that, such as fellow surgeons that Dr. Savalia has worked with in cases such as this. So whether you're a patient seeking some further knowledge or looking for help in your cancer treatment, or a surgeon somewhere who's wanting to advance their skills in something that Dr. Savalia maybe has experience in that can help you, I hope you find something in this podcast for you. So Dr. Savalia, let's start a little bit about your background.
Sure. Yeah. I hope you know all my background by now, but
I hope so too.
Let's talk to you guys over here. So I'm a plastic surgeon. I'm board certified in plastic surgery. That means I did 8 years of surgical training before coming into practice. I did all my training in the East Coast. And during my training, I learned a little bit about breast reconstruction, but mostly the more involved and longer procedures that involved free tissue transfer, which means taking tissue from somewhere else in your body, bringing it to the breast after a big mastectomy. I did not learn a lot about oncoplastic surgery in my training, but I'd heard the term batted around. So going back into my background, after finishing my training, I came out here to practice in Newport Beach in 2006. So I've been in practice now, based on today's date, 18 years. And in the beginning of my practice, focused mainly on cosmetic surgery because honestly, that's the only patient that I can get to walk through my door in the beginning. Getting a patient with breast cancer for reconstruction to come through my doors is much more difficult. That required a much, probably even a deeper level of trust, both from the patient as well as your referring physician colleagues. So when I started, it was mainly 3 years into the practice when I started doing breast reconstruction. And that's when I had the fortuitous meeting with Dr. Melvin Silverstein, who you know.
Yes.
I know this is going a little bit off track in my background, but I think it's important to say that Dr. Silverstein was recruited to Hoag from USC. He was an esteemed professor of breast surgery at USC. He was a tenured professor. So for him to leave that position and come to a private community hospital in Newport Beach was an anomaly in and of itself, but what's even a greater anomaly is that he and I got to meet, we bonded, we had similar thoughts and similar views on things of how women should be treated. And because he was already a world famous breast surgeon, for me to get busy doing work with him was quite easy. And I think together we were both able to pave the way for advances in oncoplastic surgery. So over the past 15 years, we've been doing that together. And we've also together trained about 50 breast surgeons in this field of oncoplastic surgery.
So why oncoplastic surgery? What attracted you to that type of reconstruction?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think I figured out the answer to that question for myself because I have asked myself, how did I end up doing this particular thing? And I think I can trace it back to a paragraph I read in a textbook back in my training. It was one paragraph that mentioned oncoplastic surgery. It was intriguing. It was a concept that nobody else had really taught me in my training. It was just something I happened to read in a book. So this was something that was being performed in Europe, much more commonly than in America. So during my training, hardly anybody even knew about it in America. Then go couple of steps back from even that, which is before I was even training in plastic surgery, I was training in general surgery. And in general surgery, you learn how to treat diseases of the breast. And one of the things I learned about was this disease called ductal carcinoma in situ. Long name, don't worry about it. But who was one of the pioneers of advancing treatment for DCIS? Who wrote a textbook on this? It was Dr. Melvin Silverstein. And Dr. Silverstein happened to be at Hoag when I started doing breast reconstruction. So he and I met. I got to meet this person who I'd known about since my general surgery training, who'd come up with concepts that I thought were pretty cool even back then. And I didn't even know who this guy was. I didn't even know how to say the name of his practice back then. So I met him. I'd been intrigued by oncoplastic surgery from a textbook paragraph. And then together, you know, it was just a blend of two ideal circumstances, I guess. He was a breast surgeon that really was focused on advancing oncoplastic surgery. And I was a plastic surgeon that could advance that field with him because I had the ability to create techniques in conjunction with whatever he wanted to do. And he always wanted to push the envelope even further than initially I was comfortable with, because I was pretty new to practice. So together, though, we were able to create some new concepts, some new techniques, and really propagated oncoplastic surgery throughout this country because we trained 50 fellows. These fellows have gone on to their own jobs in this country, all over the country. And that's basically seeded this concept of oncoplastic surgery throughout the country. It is now the main focus, or one of the main focuses, of the American Society of Breast Surgery. They have even begun concepts of how to get certifications for this kind of surgery and things like that. So I don't think any of that stuff happens without the two of us really meeting and doing presentations, talking around the country, teaching at meetings, teaching 50 fellows. I think that really was the initial event that kind of started all this.
Yeah.
So pretty cool.
We'll have to have Dr. Silverstein on a podcast episode.
I think he'd be happy to join. Yeah. He's got a lot of stories.
We'll have to talk about YouTube meeting. So with oncoplastic surgery, obviously that's a very important part of our practice, but you don't only do oncoplastic reconstruction. Dr. Salia also does reconstruction following mastectomies, or he'll help women who have had breast cancer taken care of previously and had their reconstruction, but they're unhappy with their results. And he's kind of sought after as someone who can help them achieve the appearance that they are hoping to achieve after having a breast reconstruction. So I want to read a review that was recently posted from a patient who you helped. Mm-hmm. It says, as a BRCA gene carrier who had lost several family members to breast cancer, I had preventative mastectomy 17 years ago. While I knew I made the right choice for me, I was never pleased with my breast cancer reconstruction results. I met with multiple plastic surgeons over the years and had two revisions, hoping someone could make them look more natural. I have always been told this was the best that they could look. Last year, I heard about how talented Dr. Savalia is and saw some of his incredible work, so I scheduled a consultation. He listened to my concerns, and he was the first surgeon to tell me what I wanted was possible. I had my surgery a little over a month ago, and I am beyond happy with my results. For the first time, I can look in the mirror and not be self-conscious about how I look. Thank you so much, Dr. Savalia. You truly made me feel whole again. So tell us what set you apart in cases like this. What did you do differently that other surgeons couldn't give her?
I think the key is volume and repetition and experience. If you dabble in breast reconstruction and do a little bit here, a little bit there, you're probably not going to get the amount of exposure and experience that you need to really understand all the nuances of it. So having had a heavy focus in it for 15 years, and plus understanding that, you know, we're creating this artificial separation of this is breast reconstruction, this is cosmetic surgery, there are two different things. In reality, it's all the same thing. There is a breast. It does not look the way perhaps either the patient doesn't want to look, or somebody, or I don't feel like it looks the best it could look. But the point is that we want to operate to make that breast look better, regardless of whatever the etiology or source of the problem is. So this divide between reconstructive surgery and cosmetic breast surgery is artificial. It's really just determined by who's paying the bill, right? Mm-hmm. So for me, I've had a hand and a heavy hand in both sides. I've done lots of complex cosmetic breast surgery and breast revisions, a lot of complex breast reconstructions and revisions of reconstructions. But the principles I apply to both are very similar, and they can cross-pollinate. Techniques I use here are definitely applicable here. Techniques I use here are definitely applicable here. And unless you do a large volume of both, you don't really get to understand these nuances of how one can complement the other. So over 15 years, I think I've gained that exposure and experience and volume to be able to do these things. So when you see a patient like this, the solution is immediately staring in the face, because honestly, it's somewhat intuitive. And it's intuitive because you don't have to think about it. It's almost like a reflex. Yeah, you know, like you've done so much of it, you can already see, okay, if I do this and I do this and I do this, problem solved. And it comes across as simple. And sometimes even patients think it's simple because you make it sound so simple. But it's really not that simple. It really is quite complex. But You ask me how and why, it's because having done so much of it, that concepts that seem super complex end up actually, if you break it down into its components, are somewhat simple. And as long as you execute them, you'll get a good result.
Yes. I think that shows your commitment to excellence, which also traces back to not only your experience, but your experience with training fellows, as you mentioned earlier with Dr. Silverstein. I think that helps with your experience in cases like these as well, because, I mean, go into it a little bit about your training with other surgeons and teachings.
I think training surgeons, training fellows, or educating anybody is often a humbling experience. Mm-hmm. You have kids, but maybe they haven't humbled you yet because they're not old enough to humble you. Mine have humbled me many times by asking me a question that I'm like, shoot, I didn't think about it that way. That was quite insightful. So when somebody is looking at a problem with a fresh set of eyes, they may look at something, ask you a question, and force you to think about the problem in a way that you never thought about it before. So having trained 50 fellows, it really highlighted to me sometimes how little I knew about something that I was trying to teach somebody else. So becoming a teacher makes you better at whatever you're trying to do, because you can't teach somebody else to do something if you don't quite know the ins and outs of it yourself, right?
Right.
And those deficits may not be apparent to you unless you're actually trying to teach somebody else. So having trained, as we said, about 50 fellows, over and over again, I've learned so much more about breast surgery than I thought I would ever know. And I think I've probably benefited from this educational process more than the fellows have over time.
Yeah, excellent. So with us finishing up this podcast episode, tell me, or tell our viewers and listeners, what they can expect from our podcast in future episodes.
We hope to make it a varied experience. This is just an introduction to kind of give you an idea of what this podcast will be about. It's not going to be me talking about my training for the rest of the series. It's going to be us talking and doing a deeper dive into breast reconstruction, oncoplastic reconstruction. We intend to have visiting physicians and non-physicians as well that participate in breast reconstruction and may give their own insights into the field and help illuminate the path forward for many of you that may be dealing with this at the moment and not know what your options are.
Yes. Well, thank you, Dr. Savalia. I hope all of you maybe learned something about Dr. Savalia. I know I learned that one paragraph created his whole career, basically. But I hope you tune into future episodes and keep listening, and we're excited to have you.